Blog Talk Radio.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a than anything that this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than that this world affords today, than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread. Than anything that this world affords today.
I will bless. Good evening, sisters and brothers. We may as well go ahead and begin. So let us begin with a word of prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, we come to you once again, Father. Lord, just to thank you for a blessing that you have bestowed upon us on this prayer line. And, Lord, in giving us a blessing on the Tennessee prayer line, Father. Lord, we thank you for all the prayers that we had on that prayer line and all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift this prayer line up to you, Lord, as we host tonight, Lord, and the theme of this little talk that we're going to do in prayer that we're going to do tonight is a mother's prayer. We're going to pray, dear Lord, for our children, Lord, Father, and that, Lord, that you may hear and that you may help in this time of need, Lord. Oh, Lord, we all need you so dearly right now. So, Father, please hear our prayer. And, Lord, send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to strengthen us and lead and guide us tonight, Lord, that we may praise you, we may worship you tonight, and all honor to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we need thine Holy Spirit. So please shower us tonight. Rain down your blessing, Lord Jesus, upon us. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. And I will read the prophecy as we had studied, I think it was Friday, about God's, I believe that was Sister Richardson who studied on New Jerusalem. But this one here is the preparation for Christ's return. I'm just going to read this short little paragraph here. It says, since Christ will return for his people, it is important to be prepared. Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with all great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy convocation and godliness, looking for the hasten unto the coming of the day of God, wherein heaven being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot or blameless. That's 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 10 through 14. And brothers and sisters, as we do look to God's coming and knowing all these things going to happen, oh, my brothers and my sisters, all we can say is that, Lord, please don't pass us by, but help us, Lord, to have that right character, and that Jesus will see the righteousness, his blood, nothing of us, but see his blood that got us right. Oh, thank you. And now, brothers and sisters, as I open the line, I just want to allow my sisters and brothers to give God the praise and read scriptural share. So we're going to open the line. We're going to ask that our sisters and brothers press 1, because we don't want Sister Leola to be the only one sharing. We want our brothers and sisters to be on sharing also. So we ask that you press 1, and you can share. Amen. 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 And, well, I continue to read until I see my brothers and sisters open their line. And one thing that I wanted to share, this preparation this preparation should be, it says, to be like Jesus. What is necessary? Amen. Let me open the line. I'll open the line for the first caller. It's 423. Your line is open.
Yes. Hi, Sister Cynthia Leona. I'm calling. This is Sister Richardson from Iron City, Tennessee. I don't know if you want me to sing that song now or to just say a praise. Do you want me to sing that song now? Sister Leona? Hello?
You can't hear me? Saying you can,
no,
I think I was on mute. I think I was on mute. I'm sorry. You can share. You can share your scripture. And this is the scripture and what we are praying, a mother's prayer. Because, you know, Sister Richard, my testimony is my prayer for my son. For not only my son, for my granddaughter, for, you know, for our grandchildren. And when we see other people's children out there, all those young men and young women out there with my son, we praying for them also, you know, that there's so many out there that need prayer. So, you know, yes.
I want to share a scripture called to the youth. Remember now,
okay,
thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil day come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the cloud return after the rain, in the day when the keeper of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders
mm-hmm.
cease because they are few, and those that look out of the window be darkened, and the door shall be shut in the street when the song of the grinder is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. Or even the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So this is then about the youth, that now is the time that they can surrender and give. But we know that we are living unfortunate time, that they've had so many attractions to distract them from Christ. And the world is pulling them fast. But tonight, I thank you for taking the time to pray for our children, especially my children. I want my children to be lifted up, everyone, and my grandson, and my grandchildren, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I want to lift them up in prayer, because you see Satan like a roaring lion seeking them devour, their attention on something else when it's supposed to be on God's word. So I pray and I hope that, and I know God will answer our prayers, but because we are coming in sincerity, and God said, Jesus said, if a father know to give good gift unto his children, how much more
mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father shall give to them that ask him. So I pray and I hope that we will continue as parents pleading on behalf of our children and our grandchildren. Thank you, Sister
yes.
Leona. Do you want me to sing song now, or when you want me to sing the song?
You can go ahead and sing it now.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, okay. Praise him, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangel in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus would guide his children. In his arms he'll carry them all day long. Praise him, praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. For all sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sang his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portal, Lord, with Hosanna ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise God. God deserves to be praised, honor, and give glory and honor because he's a good God. And we would just want to praise him and thank him for all the goodness and blessing that he has blessed us with. Thank you, Sister Leona.
Sister Leola, you're muted. Hello?
Power, yes, I was. Your line is open, Sister Power.
Okay.
You can hear me?
Yes,
Sister
I hear
Power?
You now. Yes,
Amen.
I hear.
Amen.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. I want to give God thanks and praise for his blessing. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And brothers and sisters, Sister Loa was there, and Sister Leola said you want this song to sing. 590, Trust and Obey. Right? 590. I will just try to sing this song. All right?
Amen.
Oh, is that much again? 590? Okay. All right. Please listen. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but his smile quickly dries it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but his best if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delight of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Praise the Lord. Kind and loving Father, this evening we come, Lord Jesus, to give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for us to trust in you. We thank you for your words that allow us to be obedient to your will. We thank you, dear God, that you can remind us if we trust and obey, we will be faithful to you, Lord. So I'm asking you at this time as we gather at your welcome table, each and every one who join Advent Light, Lord, each family members, Lord, we present ourselves to you. And Lord, we also present our children. As mother on the line, Lord Jesus, I present my children, my grandchildren. I present my church family children. I present the community children, Lord. I present all those children who are running behind the bandwagon of Black Lives Matter, dear God, how they have been gone astray from you. Father, I'm asking you, just as that woman, dear Lord, when she heard that you was in a certain place and she took your children and she called another parent and said, come, let us carry our little children to Jesus Christ, that Jesus can stretch
Lord.
His hands around them and bless. And that woman organized these mother and these mother went and they took their children to Jesus and Jesus take their children. And Lord, all those the disciples were going as to want their mother to send away these children. Jesus said, leave them alone. And he pick up these children,
right.
Lord, young people, youth, in his hands, and they surround him, and he pray, and he bless them. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father,
we come
boldly to the throne, dear God,
yes,
with our grandchildren, Sister Leola, grandchildren, Nicole, daughter. We also present the young adult to you, Jarvis, Nicole.
Yes.
We also present Sophia, Steffi, Nikki, Debbie, and also Christine and her children, the little grandchildren. Then we also present Sister Richardson children, Lord Cindy, and also KSB, and also Lou and her father, family member, the church children. We also present Sister Benny children and grandchildren. We present Brown, Sister Cancinelli children and grandchildren, Lord, all the children, Brother Elder Richardson, Elder Rickson children, Lord Ashley and the other children, and also his grandchildren. We also present Brother O'Neill children, Lord, in Jamaica. We lift them up to you this moment, dear Father. We also lift up Brother Yudi children, Lord, Father Caleb and Elizabeth, Lord. We lift them up to you, Lord. You know them, all the children, dear Father. They belong to you. And tonight, dear God, as a mother crying and praying, just like how the mother Anne took her little chick, Lord, and put out stretch out his wings over his children and cradle them, that despite of the storm, despite of the fire, those sick were safe under the mother end. And although the mother end died, dear God, those sick were safe under her wings. So, Lord, we know, dear God, as we place these children under your wing, we are asking you to guide, to lead them. Some of them, dear God, want to go to college in their various places. I ask you, Lord, for wisdom, to give them the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to obey and be obedient to their parents. So whatsoever the parents send them, Lord, help them, dear God, not to be going astray, Lord, because these are some of these colleges just lead them into destruction. So, Lord, help them, dear Father, as we have listened to this lady, our sister Parlet from Brooklyn, who is troubled now and is stressed with her daughter, want to go into the city college, and she want to leave out of the city, and that is a little controversy.
Yes, Lord.
So, Lord, we are asking you, Father God, to touch these children. Keep them, Lord.
Yes.
Guide them under your wing. Protect them, dear Father. Help them first to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and that all things shall be added unto them if they trust and they believe. And, Lord, I can remember children that in the book, children with the three Hebrews, Lord, God stood up for you because of the training that their parents give them. Little Joash, Lord, he was 8 years old when he transformed our own nation by throwing out the idols in the temple, and he had reformed our whole nation at the age of 8, Lord God. We look upon Christ when he was a child, as a little child, Lord. He was around doctors and lawyers, and 3 days he was lost from his mother, and the Holy Spirit took him that they couldn't believe that a child was so knowledgeable, Lord. So we know you can do all things with these little children and young people, you said. They will be the leaders of tomorrow, but the enemy is trying to destroy them, dear God. So in your hands,
Lord,
we place them to you. Continue to bless, continue to keep. continue to allow we as mothers and grandmothers that we will set a good standard example of Christ within us. So those children will look upon our life and they will also want to follow and demonstrate Christ-like character. Lord, we thank you for this prayer line. Thank you for each person on this line, every brother and sister that joined. And bless Sister Leola as she monitored this line today, Lord. Continue to bless them. Leave everyone, Sister Carla, our children, to Nicholas and Amanda. We place them in your care. And, Lord, there are so much. Lord, I can say thank you, Lord, because when a mother cry out to you and I stated,
yes,
believe in you, Lord, you can do all things. And tonight I sit here and giving you praise to see what you have done to one of my child, Lord God. Draw her and you bring her to you. And, Lord, I can bring praise to you and say, Lord, thank you.
Lord.
So, mothers, when you have your
thank
children,
you,
please cry out to you and ask you for help and believe that you are able.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, there is nothing too hard that you cannot do. And we are asking you, as you are in the most holy sanctuary, Lord, help us to trust and obey. Help us to hold fast till you come. Help us to continue to carry out the gospel message to the world. We want to thank you, we praise you, and thank you for hearing. In Jesus' loving name, with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. God bless.
Oh, thank you, Sister Power, for those prayers. Brothers and sisters, our theme of the prayer, a theme of the prayer line for the next couple of weeks is all about a mother's prayer, sisters and brothers, and Sister Power brought it. Oh, thank you, Lord, for a mother's prayer. And brothers and sisters, we don't just want to pray by ourselves. We want you to pray. We want you to pray. But we have Brother Akeem on the line yet, and we're going to open up a couple more lines. But brothers and sisters, we don't want to keep him waiting because he will bring us a powerful message tonight. So we're going to open up the other line. And brothers and sisters, if you have a prayer, please come and pray. This is all about a mother's prayer. God is listening, brothers and sisters. So please press 1 and your line will be open. Let us open the next line. Sister Power, thank you so much, Sister Power, for praying for all the mothers and for all the children, Sister Power. Oh, you're such a blessing. So thank you so much. So let's open the next line for 985-2322. If you can just give a short testimony, but have a prayer. We are asking mothers to pray tonight. Give a short prayer. So your line is open, 232.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up. I just want to thank God for holding me up. I've just been going through a lot of things. I want y'all to keep me in prayer. I took some tests, and I'm having problems. And just praying to God is not. I had to take some tests on my kidneys, and I'm just praying to God that I don't have problems with that. I'm waiting on them to come back. I've been suffering with my bladder, which I had problems at your surgery. Now my kidney around my back, what I had been having some serious pain, chronic pain, and I can't bend or stoop to the dryer or the drawer. It gives us so much pain. So I've been going back and forth to the doctor and waiting on the test. So y'all just keep me in prayer. I just pray it's not. Due to the pandemic, I was taking the tests every 3 months because all the stuff I'm on and what I have to have. And because of the illness, and now that that's going on, I can't go to the hospital like I'm supposed to, so things are bad now, so that's why I'm, you know, I haven't been going to the doctor, and I couldn't get off whatever moment, so things are bad, so just keep me in prayer. I would like to read a prayer, and it says, "Dear God, your works are too marvelous to comprehend. You are the creator of the universe, and the Holy Trinity has been present since the beginning of time. Without the hope of Jesus, we would have no hope. You sent your Son, your Word, to save us from sin and darkness. Cling to your Word and hope for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. My God, what a prayer. Thank God for His grace and mercy that brought us through. But Lord, I just want to ask for prayer for me and my family, and that being light in all our family and friends on this prayer line, and those out in the darkness, under the bridges and everywhere. Pray for all other families that's in the midst, Brother Yuda and his family, that they're beginning to learn life. And I know it's not easy because I'm dealing with another generation, and it's not easy at all. But I'm keeping them in prayer, and we all keeping each other in prayer. So God bless,
amen.
Everyone have a blessed evening. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Sister Brenda. We want to pause a moment. We want to pause a moment. We're going to ask you to say a short prayer. Say a short prayer for your family, and then we're going to pray for you. Because God wants you to be able to pray. You talk to God as to a friend. So you tell God your prayer. Just pray. You just pray a prayer right now, and then we are going to pray for you. So give a prayer right now. We're going to bow, sisters and brothers, and pray with Sister Brenda. So just offer God a prayer right now, Sister Brenda. Offer him a little prayer.
Okay.
And it don't have to be long, just a short prayer. He knows your heart.
Okay.
And Jesus intercede for us. Okay, amen. Go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at this moment, thanking you for everything you have done for us. We ask you at this hour to look inside our heart and clean all the filthiness, clean all unrighteousness. Lord, I ask you to remove all the hurt and pain that I'm carrying. Lord, Father God, I ask you to bless whatever you see fit. If any necessary, by all means, Lord, I just want to thank you for whatever is being done, because by your grace, I have come a long ways. And I just thank you, because I know whatever done, you'll have your way. But I thank you in your darling son Jesus' name for whatever it would be. So thank you for this prayer line and all my brothers and sisters. I ask you to just keep us strong and keep us praying one for another, and keep all of us in your heart as you do, and take care of us daily as you will. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, let us bow once again to pray for Sister Brenda. And we're going to go into our, we're going into our special, this is the prayer, our general prayer. And we're going to pray because Brother Akeem is gone. So let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you once again as you linger a little longer to hear the prayers of your children, Father. Lord, we lift up Sister Brenda to you, Lord. Lord, you see her pain and you know her pain, Lord. Father, we ask that you, Lord Jesus, to give her understanding of what's going on in her body, Lord. And Father, give her the a ease and a and help her, Lord Father, as she go through this pain. I'm asking that you continue to work with her, Lord, and help her to understand that these things, Lord Father, is going to take prayer and fasting. Oh, Lord God, all we can do, Lord, we say what you can do. Lord, but help us. Help us all to come to the decision. The Bible says we got to offer a living sacrifice. Lord, you want us to offer a living sacrifice, Lord, to you, and that we may show ourselves faithful, Lord Father. So, Lord, help Brenda, lead and guide her, Lord. Teach her thy will and help her to understand what you are asking her to do, Father, because in all these things, Lord, you you allow some things, Lord, to strengthen us. So, Lord, Father, as you strengthen in Sister Brenda and leading and guiding her, Father, Lord, we ask that you to help her and her children to be patient and love her, Lord. We know you love us all. But, Lord, Father, to help her to understand all these things she's going through, Father. So we just ask that you continually to lead and guide her and strengthen her, and that she may give you all the praise, honor, and glory, even though because that many that was in pain as you were healing them, as Job, we know Job was in pain, and Job didn't sin. But Satan put all these things on Job, and Job gave God the praise. He said, because he praised God, because he knew who God was. So, Lord, thank you. So let Brenda praise you, even till the time of whatever she goes through, Lord. Let her give you praise. And so, Father, we continue to pray the mother's prayer. I'm praying for Brenda, Lord, as she desires to pray a mother's prayer for her daughter, Wanika. Lord, Father, we pray that Wanika would surrender herself to you, Lord, and help her to understand, Lord, we're living in the time of the end. And these times is not for us to be of the world and gaining the world, but, Lord, Father, help her to see that she should be preparing her children to learn of you, to come to you, Lord Jesus. They little children, and they mother have to bring them to you, Jesus. So help her to know, Lord Father, that her children would desire to know Jesus. But Father, a mother has to begin to teach him about the Lord. So help her. And Lord, also help her son. Help her son to read those books, Lord. And her daughter too, help them to read the books that have been shared with them, and that they can get to know Christ Jesus and get closer to him, Father. So, Lord, we lift up them in prayer to you. And, Father, may they be blessed, and may they continue to seek you, Lord, Father, because there's nothing else in this world that we should love other than Jesus, because most, first of all, Jesus loved us, and he died for us while we was yet in sin. So, Heavenly Father, we also lift up Sister Nelda, Lord, Father, and praying for her children, Lord, Father, lifting her son, her grandchildren, Lord Father, and to you, giving them to you, Lord, that they may continue to cling to Jesus and to get to know him and seek him out, because Jesus said we must search for him as a hidden treasure. And Lord Father, I plead the prayer to you for the children, for all mothers, Lord, that our children should search for you and draw closer to you, Father, and take those little books. All of them have been given steps to Christ, Lord. Help them to take that book up and see what Christ is talking about. See what, how Christ wants them to draw closer to them, because his arm is always out, reaching for them, Lord. And we say, no, not yet. But, Lord, Father, help them. Help them, dear Lord. And now, Lord, I lift up Sister Powell to you again, Lord Father, as she's praying for her daughters and her children, Lord Father. I just want to thank you for a mother that has such an example, not only on her own children, Lord Father, on all others. So, Lord, we thank you so much for her consistent her blessings that she's given me, Sister Brenda, Sister Richardson. Oh, she has blessed each and every one of us, all of us, Lord. And, Lord, we just thank you for Sister Powell and her blessings. Now, Lord, I also thank you for Brother Richardson for what all he has been doing and the light that he has been giving to us, Lord. I'm asking that you continue to bless him, continue to strengthen and lead and guide him, Lord. Sister Richardson, Lord, and the family and the grandchildren, Lord, continue to bless them too, Lord, Father. Your children, Lord, all these are your children, but, Lord, we got to heed to God's word because he says his children follow him. He says we follow him if they hear his voice. So, Lord, help us. We can't do nothing without Jesus. So, Lord, Father, we thank you so much. Now, Lord, as lift Brother Akeem and his mother up to you, Lord, Father, I pray, dear Lord, Father, that his mother has got, and I know, God, you are able to heal and to mend everything that has been hurt or broken or whatever, Lord. You able to mend all things together. And, Lord, as I've seen, even with my husband, because he had broken his wrist, broke his wrist and arm, and, God, he used that today just as good as ever, but not so bent, but Lord, he's able to use it, and he got strength in it. So, Father, thank you. I know you're able to mend and heal and help Brother Akeem's mother, and that she's going to come 100% back healed, Lord. So continue to bless her, and we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit in upon Brother Akeem tonight, Lord. Give him the power. Preach the word of God in season, out of season, Lord, that he may bring to us this good news, and that this good news that's going to help us to see Jesus for who he is. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for all your blessings. Lord, thank you for my children, Lord. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you can, that you're going to bless my children because the prayers has been going out for them. And, Lord, I thank you for listening and hearing prayer. I thank you, Lord, for to bless even Ray's children, Lord, Father, to keep them and all their family, Father. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you and praise you for all prayer, for all mothers, for all fathers, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray for your Holy Spirit to pour out on this prayer line tonight, Lord, that all your children will hear and be obedient to you. And we thank you in your son, Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Oh, thank you, brothers and sisters. Amen. And as we will open the line for Brother Akeem, brothers and sisters, give me just a second. Brother Akeem, your line will be open in just a second. Thank you, Sister Brenda. I wanted to thank Sister Brenda for coming on and joining us. And also, and all the other Sister Richardson, Sister Power have shared and gave her her prayer. So we're going to open the line for Brother Akeem so he can bring the message, brothers and sisters. So Brother Akeem, I believe you on. Press 1 to let me know that's you. Amen. 301, your line is open. And brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem James will bring us the message for tonight. And God be with you, Brother Akeem. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the opportunity once again to come back and this Sunday to Advent Light. And along with that, thank you for praying for my mother. And she's doing a lot better by God's grace. And continue to keep her in prayer, as you all have been praying for her full recovery. Continue to keep her in prayer, and I know God is definitely answering your prayers. This evening, we'll be continuing in our study of Daniel 11. And so as we continue, I pray that this will be a blessing to you as it has been to myself in light of some of the things that I've been studying and looking at over the past few weeks as I've been studying Daniel 11. And so with that, let's have one more word of prayer. We'll do a recap, and then we'll head into verse 19. Last time we touched on verse 18, we didn't read. We didn't go through all of it, so today we will finish that.
and then we'll go into verse 19. But with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds by your Holy Spirit. Draw us ever closer to you. Bring us to be all that you have called us to be, Lord. And as we study your word, I pray that our hearts will be drawn to spend more time with you in study and in the application of that which we have learned. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 18, as we read last week, it states, after this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the approach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. And so that phrase, after this shall he turn his face unto the isles, is now talking about Rome, but it's talking now about certain individuals in Rome. When it says he shall turn his face to the isles and take many, this verse briefly covers the extension of the empire, the Roman Empire, and the downfall of the Republic. After Rome's subjection of Palestine, that's where God's people dwelt, the armies of the Republic extended the empire to the isles, or coastlands, aka the coastlands of Africa, Asia Minor, and Europe. In the Hebrew idiom, isles also contain the idea of far-off places, and that was what was happening to Rome, who was rising as the world's then-known superpower. They were spreading their territory and taking over more and more places, some by war, but others by treaties, or by basically, how would you say it, by pacts, deals, or peace. By peace, they would take the nations. And so these same nations that made peace treaties with the Roman Empire, or with Rome, the Roman Republic at that time, they would make peace with them, but at the same time, or they would form alliances with them, but at the same time, the same powers that made alliances with Rome later on became oppressed by Rome. And that's what happened to God's people. Under the family of the Maccabees, the Jewish nation made a pact, which is referred to in verse 17, with the Roman Empire. But that same Jewish nation, by the time Jesus came onto the scenes of Israel's history, the same Jewish nation was being oppressed by the Roman government. Money from all these conquests poured into Rome, all the places that it took over. With wealth came luxury, and with luxury came vice. A historian says, foreign wealth extinguished in the city a love for the ancient poverty. Luxury, which in a manner entered Rome in triumph with the superb spoils of Asia, brought with her train irregularities and crimes of every kind, made greater havoc in the cities than the mightiest armies could have done, and in that manner avenged the conquered globe. So you see, the same nations that Rome was conquering by making alliances with them and then later oppressing them, that same Roman power was beginning to break down within itself, because it became so wealthy that the people began to resort, the men whose hearts were proud and the women whose hearts were proud in the Roman Empire, they began to commit crimes of every kind. And so Rome began to be broken down, not from powers without, but from within. Great wealth and power became concentrated in the hands of a few friends. Not by coincidence, that's happening again in our world today. And it was actually prophesied in inspiration. The poor Romans sold their votes to those who were grasping for power. Now we are entering into the political domain of the Roman Empire. And what was happening? The poor Romans sold their votes to those who were grasping for power. So this is not anything new. But we are learning in the First Republic how the Second Republic will fall. The First Republic was Rome. And the Second Republic is the United States of America. And in the same way that Rome fell, we can see the future. We can see an omen, the sign of how this great nation is falling and will ultimately fall completely. Bread and circuses kept the multitude feasted and amused while corrupt politicians destroyed the Republican system. Thus, and when it says Republican system, it's not talking about the Republican Party. It's talking about a system that was based on a constitution that gave the power to the people and to the delegated leaders that the people chose, showing that the power was still in the hands of the people. Thus, the way was thoroughly prepared for, get this, dictatorship. When the Romans lost the power to rule themselves, they had to be ruled. Aspirants were not wanted. Caesar quickly, this is Julius Caesar, quickly emerged from the sordid play and counterplay of Roman politics to become the supreme ruler of the empire. And that's interesting, friends. It is because the people could not rule themselves that men rose up within the Roman Empire seeking to be dictators. And ultimately, among all of them, one major guy rose who was called Julius Caesar. After his success, this is actually taken from the book Tidings Out of the Northeast. It says, after his success in the Alexandrian War in 47 BC, Caesar would win military victories at Zella, Capsus, and Munda, thus removing all opposition to his authority, standing unrivaled as the greatest military commander of his age. See Mervyn Maxwell in God Cares, the commentary, Volume 1 on Daniel, on the book of Daniel, says as it concerns Julius Caesar, Julius Caesar was gifted with extraordinary capacity for hard work. He abused his talent at times with military butchery in order to achieve personal ambition. Once he launched a foreign war, deliberately, gratuitously, and illegally, for his own personal aggrandizement, during which he claimed, with some but not total exaggeration, that his army had killed 430,000 Germans in one day. His insolent attempt to replace the Roman Republican form of government with a personal dictatorship led directly to his death, which was predicted twice for emphasis in verses 18 and 19. As it concerns a book by the name The Book of Daniel, written by Taylor Bunch, it states Julius Caesar was against the Pompeian or senatorial party of the coastlands of Africa and the Mediterranean. He conquered Pharnaces, then it states King of Pontus, in a war of 5 days. In the great battle of Capsus, he met and defeated Scipio, Verus, Juba, and Cato, the last of the Republican leaders with their armies, came the Lord of the Roman world. All of the north coast of Africa submitted, and Caesar returned in triumph to Rome, having fought and won 500 battles and captured 1,000 cities and slain 1,192,000 men. Stephen Haskell, in the book Story of Daniel the Prophet, continues by saying, leaving Egypt, Caesar passed along the coast of Palestine and Asia Minor, receiving the submission of all peoples. This is talking about Julius Caesar, with such rapidity that he sent the famous dispatch to Rome. As we know it today, I came, I saw, I conquered. Vini, vidi, vici. He returned to Rome, where he altered laws, strengthened the Senate, settled disturbances in the army, and later brought Western Africa, which had revolted, into submission. Caesar was an organizer, as well as a warrior, and display greater liberality and breadth of ideas than any previous ruler. Roman franchise was granted to the citizens of many cities, hitherto excluded, and all scientific men of whatever nationality were equally honored. Still greater plans for Rome, Roman improvement, were found among his papers after his death. So friends, what we're realizing here is that, wow, this man, and as we go on in our study, maybe next week we will find out how that is being repeated specifically in the United States, and that has been happening for years. Some of the things that we're going to touch on may step on a few toes, because I know that there are many who are, even among those who believe present truth, who are very much, as Ellen White would say, they have strong, very strong political sentiments. But she says, if we will be saved, those strong political sentiments must be submitted to the word of God. And so as we touch on these things, this is not necessarily me bringing it, but as I am looking at the very aspects of history that we are seeing in Daniel 11, friends, even men like A.T. Jones saw that in the fall of the Roman Empire from a republic to a dictatorship, we see the coming fall and the present fall and the coming fall of the United States of America. It is national apostasy in godly principles, principles that protect men and women. The failure to uplift those principles will lead to the fall of this nation. National apostasy will lead to national ruin. That is not just speaking about the aspects of the religious, but it is talking also about the domain of the civil. And so as we look at these things, keep that in mind. We'll come back to that next week. So stay tuned. But as it continues, there's another part of the verse that says, a prince shall cause the reproach to cease. What is this referring to? In the same book, Tidings Out of the Northeast, page 121, it states, Marcus Antonius, we know him in his history as Mark Antony, who would protect Caesar's political interests in Rome while he was away on provincial commands. Serving as tribune in 49 BC, Antony had vetoed several legislative proposals designed to weaken Caesar's political ambitions. So what was happening is this man began to rise to such power of dictatorship, to such a level of dictatorship, that he was bypassing the Senate. He was bypassing those who were meant to protect Rome as a republic. He was bypassing those who were seeking to keep the hands. They themselves were corrupt, but they were also seeking to protect the republic, in the sense of protecting the idea of keeping the power in the hands of the people. Remember, that's what a republic is. It is the power being in the hands of the people, the citizens of the Roman government, or the citizens of Rome, as well as to the delegated leaders that they choose. But what was happening to Julius Caesar is, in his love for power, and his dictatorship, his way of ruling being a dictatorship, he began to bypass the principles of the republic. He began to bypass constitution that made Rome a republic. And so as a result, what happened was there were moves and attempts to limit, to mitigate his power. Antony had vetoed. And so at certain points when Julius Caesar was out on certain duties that he was seeking to do to push his agenda further, it says what people would do, what leaders would do in the Roman Senate, is that they would seek to do things in such a way that by the time Julius Caesar returned from those duties that he was carrying out to further his power, by the time he returned, his power would be limited because everybody would have voted on it. But there was a man who prevented that from happening. And the man who prevented that from happening, friends, was Mark Anthony. It states Anthony had vetoed several legislative proposals designed to weaken Caesar's political ambitions. Because Caesar was not present in Rome personally, Anthony would often be the target of criticisms aimed at Caesar during senatorial debates. Rome had a Senate because of his personal loyalty to the famous general. In one specific instance, Caesar was issued a senatorial ultimatum to either disband his troops and return to Rome as a private citizen or be declared an outlaw of the state. Anthony promptly vetoed this decree, which then led the Senate to illegally suspend his tribunal power and take legal action against him. He would later flee to Caesar and serve under him, get this, in the Civil War. Thus, Anthony would cause Caesar's reproach to fall upon himself, as Daniel 11:18, the verse that we're touching on right now, states. Later, with unfailing loyalty to his deceased friend, this is by the time now that Caesar had been killed, Anthony, in loyalty to Julius Caesar still, would exact revenge for Caesar, causing his reproach, Caesar's reproach, that is, to cease by hunting down, here it is, Caesar's assassins. This gives us a hint as to what's coming in the very next verse, verse 19, where it talks about Caesar's death, Julius Caesar's death. He would eventually, Mark Antony would eventually win two decisive battles against Brutus and Cassius at Philippi in Macedonia, which later led both of these men to commit, both Mark Antony and also the ones that he went against, Brutus and Cassius. He would cause, which later both of these men, Brutus and Cassius, I should say, as a result of being attacked by Mark Antony, and basically because Mark Antony was dominating in terms of fighting against them, these two men, rather than surrender, Brutus and Cassius, rather than surrender, they would both later commit suicide in the year 42 BC, because these men were involved in the work of annihilating Caesar Augustus, right? Or I should say, yeah, so he said, it said he would eventually win two decisive battles against Brutus and Cassius. So there was an agenda to destroy Julius Caesar because he was slowly turning the Roman Republic into an empire, a dictatorship, I should say. Rome was also always seen as an empire, but there were two phases. There was one phase in which it was a republic, the power was in the hands of the people, but as the people began to take these this power that they had for granted, what ended up happening was corrupt politicians began to take control, and in the midst of this corruption, another corrupt leader rose, Julius Caesar. And now, because he was seeking to push his ambitions to become a dictator, the first dictator of Rome, friends, the people who were in charge of protecting the Republic of Rome, who were also corrupt themselves, was realizing that this man was getting too much power. We have to take him out. And this is what Daniel 11 in verse 19 states. It says, "Then he shall turn his face," this is speaking of Julius Caesar, "toward the fort of his own land. But he shall stumble and fall and not be found." What we're going to see here, friends, is that when men seek to be dictators, when men in their pride seek to rise to power, to dominate those who they see as their subjects under them, friends, it is then that we see the fulfillment of what the Bible tells us. Is that as men rise in pride, they fall. And their fall sometimes ends, as we will see in verse 19, in death. Pride goes before a fall. Therefore, with the rising of Caesar, Julius Caesar, as he rises to power and he seeks to rule through dictatorship, we can have a certain understanding, we can have a certain prophetic view of what his future will be. It is that either he would be humbled or he would ultimately be killed in light of his pride. And this is what verse 19 covers. It covers Julius Caesar's death. Then he, Julius Caesar, shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, coming back to Rome, his fortress, the place where he dwelt. But he, Julius Caesar, shall stumble and fall and not be found. So what is this verse covering? He shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land. This is actually stated in Daniel and Revelation by Uriah Smith. After his conquest of Asia Minor, Caesar defeated the last remaining fragments of Pompey's Cato and Scipio in Africa, and Labienus and Verus in Spain. Returning to Rome, the fort of his own land, he, Julius Caesar, was made, here it is, now with nobody to face him, he was made dictator for life. Whoa, whoa, my friends. Think about that. Think about that. Other powers and honors were granted him, which made him, in fact, the absolute sovereign of the empire. That means, regardless of whatever country, regardless of whatever nation, in whatever time of history, whenever you see men make claims like this, friends, you can know that their fall will be certain, unless they repent. It is either they will be humbled, or they will be laid in the grave. And so, look at what happens to this man. It says, other powers and honors were granted him, which made him, in fact, the absolute sovereign of the empire. But the prophet had said he should stumble and fall. The language implies that his overthrow would be sudden and unexpected, like a person accidentally stumbling in his walk. So this man, who it is said had fought and won 50 battles, taken 1,000 cities, and slain 1,192,000 men, fell not in the din of battle and the hour of strife, but when he fought, his pathway was smooth and danger was far away. How did this happen? I wonder how this happened. Continues. On the evening before the Ides, Julius Caesar, dined with Lepidus, and as the guests sat at their wine, someone asked the question. This is historically written. Someone asked a question to Julius. What is the best death to die? Someone asked him this. So you can imagine, picture it in your mind. They're all sitting and they're all drinking wine together. Julius is probably at the head of the entire crowd. And they're all sitting around each other, leaders and people who have power within Rome, men whom Julius Caesar himself gave that power and placed around him as men who he trusted. But they feared his dictatorship. And so what happened? One of them asked him, Lepidus. Caesar dined with Lepidus, and as the guest sat at their wine, someone asked a question. What is the best death to die? Julius Caesar, who was busy signing letters, said, a sudden one. By noon the next day, despite, here it is, this is crazy, history records this, despite dreams and omens that Julius Caesar received, he sat in his chair in the Senate house. Remember, the Senate felt threatened. Surrounded by men he had cared for, had promoted or spared, and was struck down, struggling, till he fell dead at the foot of Pompey's statue. Thus, Daniel 11:19 is fulfilled, that he suddenly stumbled and fell and was not found. In 44 B.C., this is when Julius Caesar died. So you see what happened there? The people that had felt threatened by him, and they had reason to feel that, they resorted, in the same spirit of Julius Caesar, they resorted to assassination. They killed him. So he answered the question, a sudden death is the best way. And friends, that's what he ended up receiving. In his pride, he fell, and he fell suddenly. Friends, this is why we must ever be humble before God. It is the same thing that happened to Nebuchadnezzar. The beautiful thing about that story, however, is Nebuchadnezzar was able to keep his life. God did not take his life away. But in the story of Rome, we are seeing how nations rise and fall. They rise when they conquer in wisdom and they don't get thick-headed. But friends, as nations become proud, as they seek to rule with violence, as they then begin to oppress, bypass certain principles that disregard and disrespect the choices of the people, you can then be sure that as these nations stand against their citizens, disrespect them, and we are seeing that today in a myriad of different ways, you can be sure, friends, that the fall is coming. Ruin is coming. And so, friends, as this took place, Nebuchadnezzar, we read the story in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar was able to keep his life. But friends, sometimes that's not the case. With Julius Caesar, it wasn't. This man lost his life. It says, having been declared dictator for life, commander-in-chief of the army, and a sacred, aka holy person, Caesar returned to Rome, the fort of his own land, to enjoy the fruits of acquired power. As Alexander the Great was cut down, as Alexander was cut down as he stood on the threshold of worldly glory, so Caesar fell in the Roman Senate, murdered by those who had hypocritically honored him. So the same spirit that Julius Caesar had in conquering nations and then dominating his own people by seeking to be a dictator over them and ultimately being declared dictator for life, that same spirit was also in the minds and hearts of those that he had placed around him. And friends, they were vying for power too. And so they ultimately took Julius Caesar's life, and another rose up in his place. And so as we look at these things, remember this, friends, because these things, we are going to see it again. We're going to see it again in the Second Republic in this beloved nation. You see, as I've been covering in the past few weeks, I've been covering the aspects through Daniel 11. I've been showing in Daniel 11, we've been looking at the aspects of racial injustice and not respecting our fellow man and not protecting, whether it be people in the black community or minorities or the citizens of a land. And when those kind of things are set aside, and when corrupt leaders are in power, and I favor no party, for there is corruption in both parties, what we are seeing, if we pay attention, is the slow transition from a republic to a dictatorship. Friends, what we are seeing in our world today is the repetition of Roman history. Daniel 11 is so crucial for us to study at these times. For in understanding it and being fear and not having strong, setting aside our strong political sentiments, we will be able to see clearly what is coming. And I'll show you some of those things next week. Because just as Rome had a constitution that was bypassed by its leaders, so in our world within the past few years, and also even in today's world presently, those constitutional principles of this land, the Second Republic, many of them have also been bypassed. And so this is why now we need to be paying attention, because the issue of religious liberty will not become an issue unless civil liberties, that is the other horn of the two-horned beast, which we know to be the United States, the two-horned beast, The beast that had two horns like a lamb, one horn represents the religious domain. It represents Protestantism. But at the same time, the other horn represents that a nation or republicanism, which would be a nation where the power lies with the people, a nation without a king, a nation that protected the people that were in it. And when those people are not protected in the civil domain, friends, we can be sure the religious domain is soon to be attacked. And once this jump happens from the civil to the religious, we can be sure that ruin is coming to this nation. This is why we must be careful. The things that we push, of the parties that we get behind, it's not that there's things that we can't agree with, but friends, we must also remember that there are things that we must also stand against. It is in wisdom that we must operate in light of these times. The scripture I want to leave you guys with is found, and you guys know it very well, Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9 and Ecclesiastes 3 verse 15. I will read that in your hearing as we end. It states in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 9, the thing that hath been, that's past, it is that which shall be, that's future. And that which is done, that's that which has been done in a sense in the past, is that which shall be done, which is in the future. And there is no new thing under the sun. Now, speaking of that same principle, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 15 states, that which hath been is now. That which hath been, meaning the past, is now. That's the present. And that which is to be, that's the future, hath already been. That is the past. Therefore, what does the final part of that verse tell us? Ecclesiastes 3:15. In light of the reality that history repeats itself, God requires that which is past. What does that mean? That means in light of the fact that history repeats itself, God requires of those who claim to be his followers, and even men who are just wise in a worldly sense, he requires of them, they have an acute knowledge of past history. That's why we're studying Daniel 11. Because as we study Daniel 11 and we look at the history of Rome, that which is past, we will see that which is currently happening, the present, that which is taking place in the present in the world, and that which shall be, that which is in the near future. As we study these things, that means, what that means, friends, is that as we look at things now, that means many people will get their toes stepped on. Many people, they may love certain things, they may respect certain people, but our goal as Christians must be to look at things not from a political lens, but inspect the political realm of our world, the things that are happening in our world, and ultimately filter all of these things, whether it breaks our political sentiments or not, filtering all of those things through the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. The Word of God must be our foundation. And that foundation is to stand in judgment against any other thing that we may espouse, that it may show us what is right, so that we will be able to stand carefully in these last days. That is our only safeguard. And so with that, friends, if that is your desire, to have the Word as your safeguard, that we might stand in light of the times to come, then I ask you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that you illuminate our minds. I thank you, Lord, that you have illuminated our minds, that you have helped us to understand history, that we might stand with wisdom, and like the sons of Issachar, know what to do in light of the times. Give us this wisdom. Help us to stand for you, O Lord, and to be able to not only be led ourselves by the truth, but to lead others by the truth. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, Brother Akeem, for the message. And as we have always heard, that what we have seen in the past, as we used to always say about the clothing, about things that was out, and next thing I knew, it was coming back. Everything, it come back to pass. It's here now,
mm-hmm.
and then for years, it come back. So now, as we see, brothers and sisters, we seeing things that's coming back. But actually, it seems to me that, brother, it just was laying a little dormant. This thing have never left. It's always been, we've been going through such hard times. So we just want to thank Brother Akeem. Thank you for Brother Akeem for studying this thing so deep with us and giving us an understanding. Now, you know, some of us may not understand it as clear, but stay with him.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with him. You're going to get it. And he will help us to understand it even better. So you got to stay with him, because he's saying that all these things that, like he said, that which was in the past, it's in the future, it's all turning around. So he's just teaching us. So if we learn this today, by God's grace, when we face these things, we'll know what to do. So let us pray, brothers and sisters, and thank God for these blessings that we are learning today. And Lord Father, I just want to come before you, Lord, to say thank you for Brother Akeem taking his time, Lord, to bring us this message and teaching us. Lord, continually give him that wisdom and knowledge, and that he may make it so plain and so clear, Lord, that even the little simple ones like myself can understand. So, Lord, I thank you once again. Jesus, you know each and every one of your children, how we are in different levels. Lord, Father, we thank you so much. In your son Jesus' name, we do pray. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for this word that we heard tonight. And I'm so happy to hear your mother doing fine. So thank you, brothers
Amen.
And sisters. And we also want to share, brothers and sisters, that Great Controversy will be tomorrow night between 7 Central, 7 Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time and 6 o'clock Central Time. So please join us tomorrow night on Great Controversy. May God bless you and keep you. And good night, brothers and sisters. Amen. Thank you.